Welcome to Forward Thinking, a podcast from Foundation Source. I'm your host, Dori Krieger. Foundation Source is the nation's largest provider of comprehensive support services for private foundations, bringing unparalleled knowledge and expertise to over 1,200 clients across the country. The best ideas in philanthropy aren't always the tried and true. Trailblazing entrepreneurs and next-generation philanthropists are transforming the sector with inspiring ideas and innovative strategies. Join us as we explore the advice, experience, and insight of some of the creative minds shaping our collective future. In this segment of Forward Thinking, we explore the art of storytelling among generations. We learn how powerful an experience it can be to pause, reflect, appreciate, and share family stories that contribute to our philanthropic identities. The Grandparent Legacy Project was developed by 2164 and the Association of Small Foundations, now Exponent Philanthropy, to help grandparents communicate their philanthropic legacies to their grandchildren. Sharna Goldsecker is the executive director of 2164, a nonprofit consulting practice specializing in next-gen and multi-generational engagement in philanthropy. She is the editor of the Grandparent Legacy Project, as well as co-author of #NextGenDonors, a first-of-its-kind study of high-capacity next-gen donors in the United States. Sharna joins us to discuss the value of passing along stories from one generation to the next and how those stories are informing the future of philanthropy. Sharna, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Dori.
So the Grandparent Legacy Project is an elegantly presented compilation of stories along with a CD capturing oral histories, and it opens with these few lines. From experience, we have discovered that if you know one family foundation, you know one family foundation. Each one is unique to the family members behind it, but they have one thing in common, a story. So what inspired you to create this tool to help grandparents and grandchildren capture family stories?
So thank you, first of all, for having me and for featuring the Grandparent Legacy Project. It's one of my favorite tools in our 2164 toolkit. We originally started in 2002, based out of the Andrea and Charles Bronfman Philanthropies. Andy and Charles were funding next generation issues around the globe. And I think the story goes, Charles looked around the room and said, I'm in my 70s and inviting all my peers to fund the kids. But I remember from my own experience running the family business, I think he stepped into running the Seagram's company at age 29. He said, I knew I had different ideas than my father had at the time. So I know the next generation must have different ideas than those of us 70-year-old funders do today. And so we're the next generation of funders. And so that's why I began work on 2164, was to help engage the next generation of funders in the United States. Along the way, we realized that all of these 20 and 30-somethings were developing who they were as much as what they wanted to fund. So really with the next generation, we thought we shouldn't just start with today. We should go back and hear from the people who informed the next generation of funders. And that's how we decided to capture all these stories about grandparents.
And so now we have more generations than ever working together at one time and place. So what is it about the grandparent-grandchild relationship that made you want to focus on that?
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. If you think about your own grandparents, you know, I sort of smile even when you ask me the question. I think about sitting at my grandpa's dining room table where he used to pull out the box of Rummy Q. And we'd sit for hours playing with him, my cousin, myself. You know, there's just a warmth and an unconditional love and acceptance and a richness of that experience that's kind of unencumbered by family dynamics. So as much as we may love our parents, we adore our grandparents. You know, there are fewer communication issues. There are fewer developmental issues. Our parents have to parent us, and our grandparents just dote. And so we thought that there was this unique communication channel, frankly, between grandparents and grandchildren. And we wanted to capture the stories the grandparents would hopefully convey to their grandchildren about their legacies.
And that brings me to my next question, which is, legacy seems like such a heavy word to get your arms around. And if you just, what is the legacy you want to leave? That's really, I think, hard to think about and have language to tell that story. So how did you prompt grandparents in kind of conveying their legacy to their grandchildren?
I agree. I think legacy feels heavy, complex, sophisticated. And we wanted to think about how you would unpack the definition, how you would get people to deconstruct the legacy that they wanted to leave in the world. And so we asked a series of questions, right? We interviewed people. We asked them about their lives. What were the life events that most informed you, both historically and within your family? What were the messages you learned from your parents and grandparents that stay with you? Who were your role models? What were the stories you recall that they taught you? What were the values that they transmitted to you and that you have engendered in yourself that inform who you are and how you lead the world? And so we tried to ask a series of questions that together combined form someone's legacy and really would be able to communicate those to their loved ones down the generations.
So how did the lessons grandparents learned early in their lives and the role models they had to inform their outlook on philanthropy?
There's this researcher at Harvard. His name is Sean Aker. He's a positive psychologist. And he talks about how of the observations we have in the world, 10% are the data we capture from those observations, and 90% are the stories we make of the data. So we wanted to hear both what people experienced and who their role models were, but also what they made of those events, right? What the how the observations translated into their life lessons. So I think back to Naomi Warren, for example, this amazing woman who we met in, you know, her late adulthood stage, and just this sage wisdom of the years came through in the interview. And she talked in a very raw way about having lived through World War II and being hungry all the time. She said some very profound things that I still remember to this day, one of which was, an education is the most important thing you can give someone because it cannot be taken away. And so when she set up a foundation many years later in the United States with her late husband, they funded educational scholarships for people. And secondly, she talked about how, again, she was hungry. And so when she came to the United States, she actually founded a food company. And so, you know, I just think these early events really inform who we are and how we see the world. Another person who comes to mind from the Grandparent Legacy book is Eddie Brown. Mm-hmm. He's this wonderful African-American man. Lives in Baltimore now, but grew up in segregated South. And he said that his mom actually had him when she was 13, and he was largely raised by his grandparents who worked in this backbreaking agricultural industry in a rural town in Florida. His grandfather worked in the citrus groves and his grandmother in a nursery plant. And he recalled this day where his grandmother took him to the big city of Orlando. And she pointed at all the businesses and all the office buildings and the desks and the people sitting behind them in their coats and ties. And she said, this is possible for you. Again, like Naomi, she taught Eddie that if he got an education, if he went to college, he wouldn't have to grow up to work in the fields like they did. So I think, you know, for him, this early story was so poignant. The role model of his grandparents who pointed him towards what was possible for him became, you know, a lasting driver in his life, a life lesson for him. And of course, he turned into an extremely successful investor, entrepreneur, business owner, as well as philanthropist with his wife, Sylvia.
I think it's interesting, too, when I was reading through the stories, it was those early experiences that almost everyone immediately went back to some kind of event or experience that happened in their formative years and how that influenced their outlook on their lives and, of course, their philanthropic identity. When we think about the next generation, how receptive are they to grandparents' stories? I mean, how much are they taking in?
I think it's a great question. I mean, today we would never assume that the next generation would listen to their grandparents about what they should wear or the music they should play on their iPhones or what movies they should see. But again, as adolescents are moving into adulthood, we find that next generation, 20 and 30 somethings, right, are constructing their own identity. And to do that, really need to think about whose shoulders they stand on and what are the life lessons that help inform who they are as much as their contemporary experience. So we, while the grandparents we talked to, first their first reaction, most of them was, this is ancient history. Who wants to hear these stories? Particularly not my grandchildren. But we really found that the next generation were hungry for them. I'll just tell a personal story in that my great uncle, my grandfather was in the grocery business, and his brother, my great uncle, was in the row house business in Baltimore. And the row house business was a little bit more successful than the grocery business. And so most of the family went to work for my great uncle, including my father. And when my uncle Morris passed away, everyone discovered in his will that they were to set up a charitable foundation in his name. And my father became the chairman. His first cousin, my uncle, became the vice chairman of the foundation, but no one had ever had this conversation with Morris previously. So overnight, my father and the family found themselves to be stewards of this philanthropic legacy. And I think how amazing it would have been to actually have a conversation that so informed my family and my legacy and my own identity with someone during their lifetime. So I think the next generation, as they grow up and grow into who they want to be in the world, really look to their parents and grandparents to understand how they made choices that inform who they are, so as emerging adults, they can consider who they want to be in the world.
As a family foundation board thinks about their direction moving forward, as well as the legacy they want the family to leave philanthropically, how would the Grandparent Legacy Project be a logical tool for them?
That's a great question. So in the foundation world, we spend a lot of time focusing our meetings on the grant-making docket and the investment portfolio. Mm-hmm. And understandably so, right? It is the charitable giving is the primary purpose behind a charitable private foundation. However, if we're going to embark on that endeavor with other family members, I think it's important to save time on the agenda to build the fabric of the family, really the group identity. So it goes beyond the collection of individuals sitting around the table, but what's the board, the group of people who are coming together to make grants in honor of the mission of the foundation? Who are they and what do they want to accomplish in the world? And so what we find at 2164 that using tools like the Grandparent Legacy Project to catalyze a conversation among family members can so inform the direction of the family as well as the philanthropy. So when you're coming to the table to look at the grants and make choices between funding A or B, they're informed by the legacy that their predecessors have left, right? They might not make the exact same choices. The world has changed, but we'll be informed by their values, by their life lessons, and can appreciate the original intention of the foundation.
So I think we started our conversation by just acknowledging that so many families are different, and yet there's this one commonality, the family story. Tell us a little bit about how important stories really are to families.
There are these researchers, Marshall Duke and Robin Fivish, out of Emory University in Atlanta, and they developed a measure called the Do You Know scale that asked children to answer 20 questions, such as, do you know where your grandparents grew up? Do you know where your mom and dad went to high school? And so forth and so on. And what they found was that the children who knew the most about their grandparents and their predecessors' stories developed the most self-esteem, were most resilient to what came during their lifetime. So I think sometimes grandparents fear that if there are unhappy memories, for example, that they don't want to bring forward, they should just hide them away, right? And the reverse is what I learned from Marshall Duke and Robin Fivish, that it's actually the families that share what they call the oscillating narrative, the ups and downs that the family members have weathered, gives this sense of resilience to the next generation, that they too, when confronted with challenges, can weather the ups and downs and prevail. So for me, that alone is the most powerful motivator for sharing stories to empower the next generation.
I agree. And so much of storytelling just happens naturally. It naturally happens at different family gatherings. And I love the intentionality that having a tool like the Grandparent Legacy Project brings to that process. And so for our listeners who are grandparents or parents, and they're just learning about this tool that can help them share their stories, how do you suggest people approach this? I mean, so next gen folks are at a really interesting, busy time in their lives. So interested to hear, you know, how you've seen this kind of take hold or help a conversation get started.
For all the times when you're trying to think about what to purchase your grandmother or grandfather for their birthday or Mother's Day or Father's Day or Christmas or Hanukkah, or even looking for a way to have a deeper, meaningful conversation with your grandparents, particularly if they're a little bit resistant to opening up to earlier memories, The Grandparent Legacy Project has been a terrific vehicle for grandchildren to purchase and to give to their grandparents. So it's a gift, it's an invitation, it's an opening to say, I'm interested in who you are and your life journey, and I hope you'll have this conversation with me during your lifetime. I've seen it also happen in the reverse, where grandparents purchase the book and say to their grandchild, let's go for lunch and let's talk about the book. And I always hear stories back about how special that time is that the two of them share. So very practically, people might not know this, but in the back of the book, there's an empty workbook where we have a blank space for grandparents to put their own photograph, for grandchildren to ask their grandparents questions and to capture the stories that they hear. So for me, you know, wish I could have that conversation with my great uncle Morris in Baltimore. And then really, how did that inform who you are now, right? What are the values that have really taken hold in your life? How do those inform the choices that you make? What are the lessons you want me to remember moving forward, and really leading up to what's the legacy you want to leave? And I think if one were to start with the big question, Grandma, Grandpa, what's the legacy you want to leave, right? It's a no starter.
Really hard.
The non-starter. But I think sitting down over the book and just saying, I love you, I'm interested in hearing your story, your journey, let's read this together, let's be curious together.
And it's interesting, too, because it's not just about the philanthropic legacy. It's about all that a grandparent is leaving and what a grandchild is inheriting from them, too, right?
100%. I'm so glad you made that distinction, because I think we often do focus around the foundation table on the resources we have to allocate. And if we look back at the Grandparent Legacy book, such a small proportion is of the time in the book or the CD are devoted to the actual act of grant making. Really, what the richness of our legacy and history is, heritage, is the stories, the experiences.
I love that you included aunts and uncles and extended family that could use this book, just as I think about all of my nieces and nephews and being hopefully an important part of their lives. What other creative ways have you seen the book being used? How are folks really going out and using it?
So we've found that once you get people started, they really like talking and they like being heard. And so we have even encouraged people to have their own audio recording mechanism or even video recording available. So, for example, some families will bring the book to the beginning of a family foundation meeting or a family retreat, a Thanksgiving holiday, any type of event where family members are convened. And the book can be given ahead of time if the grandparent wants to sort of think about what they want to speak to ahead of time. And then different people are given different roles. You take notes, you do the video recording. Everyone can get sort of an unedited, raw DVD, if they will, CD rather, to take home and have in their own library to listen to moving forward. And then if the family wants, some have found a local videographer or audio editor to edit down a few of the clips. I've seen some families set up a members-only private website where they post some of these video recordings for their next succeeding generations to be able to hear.
I just want to thank you for coming today and kind of reminding us all how important it is to capture their stories, because the moments we have are fleeting, and it's such an important thing to do, to sit down. I know you can see me. I wish I would have had that time with my grandmother to capture that. And I'm certainly not going to make the mistake with future generations of my family. So thank you. Thanks for coming in and encouraging us to do this.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me. You know, I too was named after my grandmother who passed before I was born. And so I think about all the questions I would love to have asked her. And I hope people will take advantage of the book as a catalyst for conversation, but also hope that they'll bring their own questions and curiosity and all the things they would like to get to ask their grandparents and their great aunts and uncles during their lifetimes. So thanks for starting this discussion.
Thank you. To learn more about this segment of Forward Thinking and our work at Foundation Source, please visit our resources page at foundationsource.com. While you're there, tell us what you thought of this segment and who you'd like to hear in a future one. We'd love to hear from you. Our podcast is produced by Gabrielle Galanek. I'm your host, Dori Krieger.